Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Monday, July 17th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Got some big news for you today, and also an amazing interview. Today, we're interviewing the executive director of the Sound of Freedom movie. Now, this is the number one movie in America right now. You may have seen it. It's the movie exposing child sex trafficking. It's the movie that the radical left wants to silence. It's the movie that, as of Sunday night, had already earned $83 million across America, beating Raiders of the Lost Ark and woke Harrison Ford. Now, when I interviewed Paul Hutchinson, he's the executive director, I interviewed him on Thursday. I saved that interview for today because I didn't want to run on Friday, because I thought too many people would be out seeing the movie and not watching the interview. So I decided, let's run the interview on Monday. Well, Paul Hutchinson said on Thursday that the movie had broken $50 million. I mean, that means it did, what, over $33 million over the weekend. More theaters are adding the film because the American people want to see this. This is a massive wake-up that's happening, a mass awakening. And it turns out that all the child sex trafficking stuff is true. Pizzagate, the underground dungeons, the Democrat donors, it's all true. So think about what this means and how desperate the Democrats are to cover this up. Anyway, that interview is coming up here in a few minutes. The other thing I want to cover here today, I've got a list of 10 things that are going to happen when World War III begins. And we know World War III is coming because, of course, Biden, he's literally deploying thousands of U.S. troops. He's mobilizing them to prepare for a ground war with Russia. That has come out. And we'll talk about that. And I think the 10th Mountain Unit has been receiving orders to deploy. It's coming. So world war with Russia is just maybe months away, perhaps weeks. I don't know exactly, but it's clear that that's where this is going. Now, when it happens, 10 extraordinary things are going to take place. Now, some of them are somewhat horrifying, but if you are aware of these 10 things that are going to happen, then of course you can plan accordingly. Some of them you may already have guessed, such as number one on my list, gold will skyrocket. Yes, gold will shoot up past 2050, as it did when Russia first invaded Ukraine over a year ago. I want to remind you that Peggy Hall's Know Your Rights seminar is running today on Brighteon University. That's brightu.com, B-R-I-G-H-T, followed by the letter U, brightu.com. You can watch it for free. Just go there to register. I think this is part three of her webinar, seminar. It goes for 10 days, or 11 days, all the way through July 25th. So go there and check it out. And she teaches you how to be able to say no to the vaccine mandates, even for your job or for travel or for immigration purposes even. No matter what the conditions, you can say no and also protect your children and grandchildren, let's say, from the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates, the lockdowns, all this nonsense. Got to learn to say no. And Peggy Hall teaches you how to do that. Just register at brightu.com. Now, here's something interesting. Over the weekend, Kamala Harris, who some people claim she's the vice president of the United States. Of course, you and I know that's not true, but she's the acting vice president. Well, she decided to give a speech. And in this speech, she advocated for population reduction. So I'd like to play that for you, actually. It's only 11 seconds. Listen to Kamala Harris tell you herself.
When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
So there you go. She didn't stumble. She was reading a teleprompter. She said that we're going to have to reduce population so that the children can breathe clean air. That is, whatever children haven't yet been exterminated, of course, because Kamala Harris is pro-abortion, pro-child mutilations, cutting off their genitalia, reducing the population. So I guess whatever survivors make it through that might have cleaner air, perhaps, if Kamala were telling the truth, which, of course, she isn't. Just like Joe Biden and the rest of them, she is a heinous, murderous, anti-human criminal. I mean, and she's there announcing it. This is going to go down in history with the Bill Gates speech, where he said that if we do a good job with, what did he say, vaccines and women's health, we can reduce the population by 10 to 15% or something like that. Didn't he say that? In that famous TED talk. Now Kamala Harris is like, yeah, we've got to reduce the population. See, the White House later corrected that and said, no, she didn't say reduce population. She said reduce pollution. Well, I don't know about you, but I heard population. Sounded exactly like saying reduce population. In fact, you know what? Let's hear that again and see what you think. Did she say population or pollution? Because it's pretty clear. Play it again.
When we invest in clean energy and electric vehicles and reduce population, more of our children can breathe clean air and drink clean water.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. She said population. That was no pollution. It was population. Those are two different words, it turns out. But I know, with all the mind games from the White House, they just want to gaslight everybody and pretend, no, no, she said this other thing. Really? But you heard it. I heard it. We all heard it. And it's done. Goes down in history. So, population reduction is the plan. And it's globalist criminal lunatics like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and others who are pushing population reduction through the vaccines, through geoengineering. Oh, have you noticed the insane weather lately? Not normal, is it? Just like Dan Wigington told us, because of how they're messing with the biosphere, weather weaponization to cause droughts, to cause crop failures. This is what's happening. You think the food supply is going to look good in the fall? No. Massive failures. Rationing, scarcity, it's all coming. In fact, that's part of my list of what's going to happen after war breaks out, so we'll get to that in a second. By the way, while Sound of Freedom is the number one film in America exposing child sex trafficking, Disney is actually pushing child sex trafficking, or at least demonic child sacrifice. They've got a new film. We covered this on naturalnews.com. Here's the headline. Evil Disney unveils new program about little girl who inherits blood-drinking cult, complete with ritualistic murder and human sacrifice. And this comes out on July 21st, just a few days away. It's called Praise Petey. It's going to be on Hulu and Freeform. And it's about a young girl who inherits a human-sacrificing, blood-drinking cult whose logo has the all-seeing eye. So, this is an adult animated comedy. A little girl has to move from the big city to a place called New Utopia, where she's charged with taking care of her deceased father's ritualistic murder cult. Yeah, because, of course, Disney thinks this is appropriate for children. is there anything that Disney won't push on children? How is this even legal, by the way? How is this not child exploitation? You know, just as those attorneys general are now warning Target stores about exploitation of children with the LGBT displays, I think some AGs across the country should probably press criminal charges against Disney executives for producing this filth to engage in child exploitation. This is, I'm pretty sure this violates some laws. But this is what Disney does. This is what Netflix does. This is what Hollywood does. So, by the way, does anybody mind that Hollywood is on strike? I mean, does anybody care? If Hollywood shut down, would that be bad? I think not. You know, except for the few independent studios, like Angel Studios that, well, I guess they're the distributor that is working on Sound of Freedom. And I know some other independent filmmakers that are doing some Christian films and family-oriented films. We'd love to see more of that, but mainstream left-wing Hollywood, if that just stops functioning forever, that's probably a benefit for America, isn't it? I mean, what would we do without all the violence and all the witchcraft and all the nudity and all the profanity and everything else that that characterizes these films out of Hollywood. So let's talk about World War III and ramping up to it. Slay News has a headline, RFK Jr., Biden is preparing for ground war with Russia by mobilizing troops. RFK has warned the American people that President Joe Biden's troop mobilization, or I should say alleged president, is preparing or preparation for ground war with Russia. Biden has mobilized U.S. troops to support Operation Atlantic Resolve. He's called up thousands of military reservists to bolster U.S. troops in Europe. Really? Thousands of troops going to Europe. I wonder why. Kennedy tweeted this out on Friday. He said, quote, President Biden just called up 3,000 reservists to augment U.S. troops in Europe as part of Operation Atlantic Resolve. I want people to understand what this troop mobilization is about, he said. Quote, it's about preparing for a ground war with Russia. So Biden is calling up 3,000 reserve troops from the selected and individual ready reserves, with 450 from the individual ready reserve. Do you think we're going to have a draft, by the way, coming up soon, a general draft? Ted Cruz said this is reckless and dangerous, which I agree with. I want to see Putin defeated, he said, but under no circumstances should U.S. servicemen and women be sent to fight in Ukraine. Biden's weakness started this war. Now he's threatening to put our military in a shooting war with Russia. That's from Ted Cruz. And Senator Mike Lee of Utah warned that Biden's move is, quote, daring Russia to shoot first. Bottom line, President Biden is arguably walking the U.S. up to the line of war and daring Russia to shoot first. So there you go. That's exactly what Biden's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's daring Russia to shoot first. And then over the weekend, Hal Turner reported that regular Army units, including the 10th Mountain Division from Fort Drum, New York, received warning orders for deployment to Ukraine. Warning orders, they're called war nords, inform units that an operation order, an op-ord, may be forthcoming. The 10th Mountain Division Light Infantry of the United States Army is based at Fort Drum, New York, formerly designated as a mountain warfare unit. It's the only one of its size in the U.S. military to receive specialized training for fighting in mountainous conditions. And a source inside the U.S. Department of Defense has told other media outlets that the U.S. is, quote, considering a military response to Russian aggression inside Syria. What? You're going to start a war in Syria again? Didn't we already do that for almost 20 years and it ended badly? Plus Afghanistan, all that. I mean, it all ended badly. What are you thinking? So let me give you my take on this. Number one, well, actually, I have 10 things that are going to happen, because it's very clear that Joe Biden and the State Department and these other lunatics, they are desperately trying to cause, to kind of kick off World War III with Russia. They're going to do everything they can. You know, false flag, anything. Throw troops over there, maybe a nuclear bomb, who knows what. But here's the problem. There's no ammunition. The U.S. has run out of ammunition. Ukraine has run out of ammunition. Europe barely ever had any to begin with. UK has no ammunition. Germany, almost no ammunition. France, nothing. I don't care if you call up 10,000 U.S. troops. If they don't have ammo and artillery and, functioning armored vehicles and tanks and so on at sufficient quantities, then what's the point? What are you going to do? Just tell all the light infantry, you're like, run across the field, run to the Russians, see what happens. And here comes artillery. You know, Russia said, I covered this last week, that they had already destroyed in Ukraine's offensive. Russia said they destroyed, what was it, over 1,500 armored vehicles and tanks already, including quite a few Panther tanks from Germany and quite a few Bradley armored vehicles from the U.S. They haven't yet destroyed U.S. tanks, but I'm sure that's coming as the tanks get deployed. But the U.S. is going to go into a war with Russia. And my prediction is the U.S. is going to get clobbered. Badly. Badly, badly, badly. Because, you know why? Because the last war the U.S. fought and now plans around is Desert Storm. The U.S. military planners think that they're fighting poorly armed and poorly trained Iraqis, basically. Which is not at all the case. You know, Russia's very well-trained and now seasoned military professionals are... they're in a whole different category compared to, you know, Iraqi soldiers who were bombed for 30 days straight and were ready to surrender before the troops even got there, right? They were ready to surrender. You endure 30 days of just total dominance of air bombing and you're ready to go because you can't sleep, among other things. But that's not what Russia is doing. And the U.S., its war plans, its battle plans are so outdated, and yet the U.S. military is so arrogant at the top, so arrogant and so woke, you know, focused on gay helicopter crews, that they think they can just dominate Russia somehow, even though Russia's got the best anti-air defense systems in the world, and Russia's got the most advanced hypersonic missiles that are nuclear capable in the world. And Russia's got the most advanced artillery, the most effective artillery, the highest production of artillery rounds in the world, as they have demonstrated for the last, you know, 15 months, whatever it is. I mean, you got to be delusional to think that the U.S. is going to roll in there and beat Russia on its own territory. Oh, man. This is dumber than Hitler trying to conquer Stalingrad. You know, it's going to end badly for the West. But nevertheless, even though we know this is coming, let me share with you what I think is going to happen when it becomes obvious that this ground war is going to begin. It's going to creep up on us. Just all of a sudden, it's going to be a day. Boom. Guess what? We're in a war. The U.S. launches a ground war offensive against Russia. All the tanks, you know, all the Abrams, all the Bradleys, everything. Air Force, boom. You're going to start seeing dead American pilots and dead American tank commanders. Well, except I guess all that will be banned on Western media. CNN won't show any of that as the Americans are being bled out on the battlefields of Ukraine. CNN won't show that. So you'll have to get that probably from Telegram or, I don't know, RT or somewhere else. I mean, the West is going to just pretend like everything's going great while all these people come home in body bags or whatever's left of them. Here are 10 things that are going to happen that you can count on. Number one, gold's going to skyrocket. I mentioned that earlier. Just plan on that. People are going to panic into gold because of the uncertainties, you know, of the dollar and the currency and war and nuclear weapons and all that. Number two, people are going to panic buy survival supplies. Now, it's going to be more than just iodine that a lot of people purchase when they're concerned about nuclear bombs going off, for good reason. But people are going to buy food supplies. They're going to buy ammunition. They're going to buy, you know, ballistic vests. People are going to buy all kinds of things. Survival supplies. Generators, you know, flashlights, everything that you can imagine, night vision goggles, AR-15s. People are going to start stocking up again because they know what's coming. And what's coming is going to be a kind of domestic martial law, which we'll get to. That's number three. Government will use war as the next crisis to demand that you give up your liberty. So when this war gets off the ground, you can bet that they will never let a crisis go to waste. They're going to say, well, look, we're in world war. You know, you can't do what you want anymore. It's going to be martial law. We might have to have troops on the streets in America just to, you know, keep the American people in line. And come to think of it, point number four, the 2024 election will be indefinitely postponed. Well, you can't have an election in the middle of a war, obviously. You notice the election's been postponed in Ukraine already. Zelensky says no elections until the war is over. So as long as he can keep the war going, well, he remains in power. At least as long as he can manage to not get himself killed, he's in power. So in the United States, of course, this is their plan to cancel the 2024 election, which the Democrats already realize if it's an honest election, they lose, because they know they already lost in 2020. They had to rig that top to bottom just to have a chance. They had to get the media to lie, even Fox News. They rigged everything in 2020. And in 2024, what American wants four more years of this hell that we've been suffering through with Biden and Kamala and the population reduction and the inflation and the money printing and all the insanity from the State Department? And, of course, all the open borders and the political persecution of J6 prisoners and the weaponization of the DOJ, the FBI, and so on and so forth. And the SEC attacking crypto, the ATF attacking arm braces, on and on and on. Oh, how many tens of thousands of new IRS agents? It just gets worse from here, folks. So, of course, they can't have an election, so they have to cancel it, which is exactly what they're planning on doing. And then point number five. Now, remember, they always need another excuse to stimulate the zombie economy. COVID was one excuse to print trillions of dollars to expand the money supply by 40% in 1 year, or a year and a half or so. It's crazy. Well, when war breaks out, they're going to use that to print money like crazy. This is going to be their way to kick the can down the road a little bit more for the zombie economy and to inject trillions of dollars into the hands of U.S. consumers to go out and buy stuff and keep the economy, you know, humming along and making people imagine that everything's fine. Even though, of course, the supply chain is going to be crumbling, which is a point coming up here. But just watch for a declaration of war to result in massive, massive, massive money printing and stimulus. Because they always need another stimulus. Point number six. Look for more aggressive censorship of anyone who criticizes the war or criticizes the Biden administration. So if you criticize Biden, of course, they're going to say, well, you must be pro-Russia. Or if you criticize the war, why are our men and women dying? Oh, you must be on Putin's payroll. How dare you say that men and women are dying, even when they are? You just can't say it. How dare you show footage of Americans being killed because they were sent into the fray with Russia without proper training or equipment? How dare you show that? So you're going to be censored, you're going to be deplatformed. Probably at some point, some people will be criminalized, arrested, thrown in prison with charges of aiding and abetting the enemy. You see? Oh, you aided and you abetted. You are such an abetter. You abetted the enemy by repeating Russian propaganda, which is anything that the Biden regime doesn't want you to say. Oh, you said the dollar's getting weaker. Well, that's Russian propaganda. You're aiding and abetting Russia by causing the American people to lose faith in the strong, strong dollar. It's so strong that we're handing it out to people. We're printing it by the trillions. And people are using it to occasionally buy things when they're not out of stock. Yeah, they're going to drag you into jail for that. Point number seven, all opposing media voices will be outlawed and deplatformed, just like in Ukraine. You know, there is no opposing media. There's no dissenting voices allowed. Yeah, you know, they arrested Gonzalo Lira. Haven't heard from him for a few months. Where is Gonzalo Lira? They've got him in a dark hole somewhere, and that's what Biden plans to do to everybody in the U.S. that he doesn't like, including Steve Bannon. You know, trying to shove Bannon into a dark hole. Steve Bannon just declared a holy war on the deep state of America. Did you see that at Turning Point, the Turning Point event? Steve Bannon was like, this is a crusade. It's a holy war against the deep state. Of course, the left is all freaking out, like, oh, these crazy Christians, they've declared a holy war. Well, hey, if you people on the left weren't demonic Satanists who are annihilating and mutilating children, then we wouldn't have to declare a holy war. But you on the left, you're the ones that made this, you know, biblical with all your demonic influence. But that was point number seven. Point number eight is that the supply chain will collapse, of course, because it's a global supply chain. And war with Russia will cause that supply chain to crumble. And since China will probably start gearing up for war, well, they've already been gearing up, but they'll convert even more factories over to wartime production, which is less stuff for Walmart. And in the United States, the government's just going to declare itself the owner over all supply chains. So, oh, you have a factory that produces whatever? Oh, that's ours now. Well, you have a firearms factory? Yeah, that's ours now. National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, signed by Obama in 2012. Yeah, all your base are belong to us. Remember that? So it's going to be your guns, your ammo, your food, your farms, your fuel. All the refineries are going to be nationalized. This is going to be the great communist takeover of the U.S. economy. Oh, all in the name of war, of course, you know, because we have to defeat the evil enemy, Putin. And if you don't agree with that, you must be working for him and you'll be in prison. So the entire free market system will be crushed. The economy will be centrally planned, centrally controlled, communist style. And there will be no supply chain except what is allowed by government, which brings me to point number 9, which is that food rationing will begin. There'll be rationing, of course, that's controlled via biometrics. You're going to have to be microchipped or have a iris scan or a fingerprint or something in order to get your daily ration of, you know, a handful of rice or whatever. You know, Pop-Tarts for you. That's it. You know, some processed crap. Little crackers and cookies and stuff with partially hydrogenated yuck oils in them, you know? So yeah, this is a time when you're going to wish you had grown some more food, probably. Home gardening will take off, but then the government will try to confiscate seeds, of course. That's mentioned in the NDAA, by the way. All the seeds belong to the government. And they might come confiscate your garden if they can see it, hence the need for food forests and guerrilla gardening. So make sure that you not only store some food, but also that your stored food isn't, let's say, easy for them to find. Because, yeah, food rationing is going to begin probably before the end of this year. And, oh, by the way, how are they going to give you your rationing credits? Probably in the central bank digital currency system, the CBDC. You know, FedNow is going live, I think, this week. Yeah, FedNow, that's the kind of the pilot program for the CBDCs. And then you're going to be forced to sign up if you want to eat something and not starve to death. Because, of course, the grocery stores will no longer just sell to the public. They'll only sell based on government permission, what you're allowed to buy. And that will be controlled via the CBDC. And then point number 10. Banks are going to freeze assets or limit withdrawals. Yeah, banks will freeze up. It's going to be across the board by government decree. And you know what happens when the banks freeze up? I mean, economic activity grinds to a halt. You can't get money out. You can't write checks. You can't wire funds. You can't pay anybody. You can't meet payroll. You know, ATMs won't work. But as I've mentioned before, guess what will still work in that scenario? Guess what three things, yes, the same three things, will still function when the banks freeze. Oh, gold and silver and crypto. You can still send Bitcoin to people or Monero or whatever. You can still use gold and silver, like junk silver especially. You just can't use your bank. Bank is toast. Frozen. And by the way, even if you could get your money out of the bank, it's going to be worth less and less quite rapidly because of all the money printing. All the stimulus money. To try to double the money supply again. We're going to get to the point where the government's printing or handing out $1 trillion a month. This is the last chapter of the American Empire. This is it. It's going to be this desperate, almost Roman Empire thing where they just spend all the treasury money on soldiers and, you know, military units in distant lands, and they just go broke. All this total corruption at home. Yeah, sounds just like the Roman Empire. What are we going to do? Send all our tanks and ammo and artillery and drones and air force all over to Ukraine, leaving America defenseless, of course, which is already underway. And then in America, what happens? Oh, the Chinese invade through the southern border, the West Coast ports, and through Canada as well, you know, northern Washington state. So all that is happening. Amazing. It's so obvious, isn't it? It's so obvious. I just can't believe that people don't see this coming. Unreal. Unbelievable. All right, so those are the 10 things that you can look forward to involving, you know, money and food and freedoms and speech and everything. And the only way that we stop all this is if somehow we stop the lunatic Biden regime and the State Department from plunging us into war with Russia. How could we stop that? Any idea? I mean, we're the anti-war people now. The Democrats are no longer anti-war. They're all pro-war. Well, they're all pro-child mutilation, too, by the way. So the anti-war left is no longer in existence. There is no anti-war left anymore, so it's up to us. But we can say we don't want war all day long. We can call for peace. But when the lunatics in power want war, well, they won't listen to calls for peace. They're going to keep pushing war no matter what. I wonder if Medvedev and his warnings from Russia might come into play here. Remember what he said? And also along with that, who was that? That professor guy, I forgot his name, in Russia who wrote that op-ed who said that they probably need to nuke a city or two in the West in order to convince the West to back down. Wish I could remember that guy's name, but of course it's a Russian name, so it doesn't quite stick the same. But yeah, it's this academic who said that the way to save the world is for Russia to do some selective nuking of Western targets. You know, a couple of cities, a couple of air bases, maybe in Europe, maybe in the U.S. Good question, right? Good question. Would that stop World War III? Because Putin and Medvedev, they are watching Joe Biden build up. They're watching the Western European nations threaten everything. You know, Germany, the UK, France, all the NATO countries, and the US in particular, calling up thousands of troops now. Not a huge number, but 3,000 and counting. And we see more calls for arming up in Poland and in Germany and so on. Putin's watching this. I guess he's got his finger on a couple of hypersonic missiles, couple of nukes, couple of Poseidon submarines with the 100 megaton warheads on the underwater drones that are already parked off the east coast of the U.S., the west coast of the U.S., and also the southwest coast of of Britain. And I think Putin's just waiting to see whether he's going to need to press that button. And if he does press that button, you do realize there's absolutely nothing that the West can do to stop those nukes from going off. Nothing. There's nothing in the West that can stop the hypersonic missiles. Not a thing. And I even wonder if Putin might, I mean, I don't know, would he fire a warning shot, like nuke a desert area in the United States, let's say? You know, some desert out in Nevada or Utah or somewhere, New Mexico, you know, where the nuclear testing was taking place before. If you see a mushroom cloud in one of the western deserts in the United States, watch for the Western media to say, oh yeah, that was us. We decided to test it. It's actually Putin firing a warning shot that just says we can hit you anytime, anywhere with a nuclear weapon. And if you don't back down, the next one's going to, what, Washington, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles. I mean, you know, look at the target list that Russia has probably been assembling. So if millions of Americans die, who do you blame? Who do you blame? Do you blame Putin who launches the missile, or do you blame Biden who provoked Putin launching the missile and who wouldn't back down, wouldn't negotiate peace, wouldn't honor the agreements that the U.S. signed on to years ago about the expansion of NATO and so on? The U.S. has just proven itself to be a liar again and again and again, a world bully, a destroyer of nations. Just ask the citizens of Libya or, frankly, Iraq or a bunch of other places, or Syria for that matter, Afghanistan. I mean, it's a long list. The U.S. is the destroyer of nations, and Putin and Medvedev have just said, well, you know, it stops here. We're just not going to let you destroy Russia. Nope, not going to let that happen. But Biden and Blinken and all the lunatics in power who stole their power in the U.S. government, they will not listen to reason. They will not listen. They will not back down because they are stupid and arrogant. They think they can beat Russia in a ground war. They do. They think they can beat Russia in a ground war. They think that Russian mines don't work or something. They think that Russian helicopters don't have night vision or something. What is it? They think Russian missiles don't work. Have they not been paying attention, or are they just reading too much left-wing propaganda out of the Washington Post run by the CIA? See, this is the problem with extreme arrogance and dissociation with reality. You got a party in power that thinks men can get pregnant and women have balls. So yeah, they think they're immune to Russia's landmines and hypersonic missiles. They're oblivious to physical reality. They think that because they say something, that makes it real. They look at war in the same way they look at transgenderism. Oh, we just declared that we're, you know, the gender number 47. So we can just declare that Russia's losing. And therefore we can gain ground. But it actually doesn't work that way, as your tanks are on fire and blowing up. And you have the burning husks of twisted metal and scabbed soldiers with limbs blown off on the battlefield, with warning smoke and dirt craters in the grass. You can't just make it up. You can't say you're beating Russia when you're just dying on the field. Russia is kind of becoming the great reality test for the West. It's like a, you could say, in effect, that Russia is a fact checker. It's like the West says, we're winning. Fact check from Putin. Here are your facts. Oh, yeah, burning metal tanks on the battlefield. Those are facts. And your lies just got destroyed. Artillery is the ultimate fact checker. You think you're gaining ground, and then 155 millimeter artillery rounds start blowing people's limbs off, and suddenly the facts change. You have new facts to contend with. You have casualties, you have dead, you have not taken the ground, your men are fleeing. War is a horrifying series of unfortunate facts playing out in the theater of human horror. And that's what Biden wants to drag us all through. How many American men and women are going to be sacrificed in this process? How many more Russians will die? How many more Ukrainians will die? How much more destruction will happen to the Ukraine country with depleted uranium rounds? How many more cities will be subjected to the destructive door-to-door, block-by-block battles between Russia and the West? How many nukes might go off? Or thermobaric bombs? Those are all the consequences of rigged elections. Every Democrat in America that went along with the election rigging, you are responsible in part for the death and suffering and destruction that is coming to America. And every Republican Mike Pence who did not stand up and demand honesty in the 2020 election, you are responsible for the total destruction that's coming to America, which may very well include the nuking of American cities. Mike Pence is a traitor to this nation, and so is every Republican who went along with the election theft. Lindsey Graham, and nearly every Republican senator, by the way. Most of them, not all, but most. When the bombs start falling on U.S. cities, what will they say? They'll be begging for Trump to be in charge, because everybody knows that if Trump were in the White House, Russia would not dare nuke the United States. because Trump, no matter what you think about him, he exudes strength geopolitically, internationally. Trump will fight back. You can't bluff Trump. Joe Biden is a senior citizen in diapers who only projects weakness and ineptitude. And that will only make it more likely that America becomes the victim of what gets unleashed in this war. So, with all that said, I urge you to watch very carefully as Biden and the regime in power, they continue to try to ramp up this war. More troops will be called up. More weapons will be sent to Ukraine, or just the European staging area, probably Poland at first. More F-16s, more Abrams tanks. There are already thousands on the way. More command vehicles, on and on, artillery, you name it. It's all headed there. And America is about to be defeated by Russia if it engages Russia in a war. It's going to be pathetic to watch, frankly. Absolutely pathetic. So obviously get yourself squared away with all the things that people are going to be scrambling to acquire when this day comes. It's going to be all the obvious stuff, you know. It's going to be food, emergency medicine, ammunition, gold and silver, obviously. It'll be impossible to get at that time. In fact, let me talk about this for just a second, about the demand side on assets and even things like crypto. So, you know, I talk about gold, silver, and crypto. And right now, you can call a gold retailer, a silver retailer. They'll answer the phone. They're not that busy at the moment. People aren't panicking. The premiums on gold and silver are really, really low. This is probably the best time to buy gold and silver in the last several years. I mean, the premiums are extremely low on silver. And most importantly, you can still send bank wires, you know, and you can still get people to answer the phone. Similarly, on crypto platforms like Kraken.com, K-R-A-K-E-N, right now, their customer service works. In fact, I'm actually finding out their customer service is quite good compared to other platforms. I've been waiting 2 weeks for Gemini to respond after they froze my account, and I got nothing. Kraken is very responsive if you have issues, by the way. But what do you think is going to happen in the middle of the launch of World War III when some big percentage of the country realize, oh my gosh, we got to get money out of the banks and into something else, anything else, probably including gold and silver and crypto and ammunition. Are you going to be able to get customer service to respond on any crypto platform? Probably not. Is your bank going to respond? Probably not. What about your ammunition retailer? Are they going to be overrun with orders? Or even us selling, you know, storable food. We're probably going to be overrun with orders. Our customer service will be just blasted. You know, we'll do the best we can, but you can't just ramp up and double or triple your customer service team overnight. Doesn't work that way. Not anywhere. Not on any platform. So there's going to come a day where there's too many people headed for the exits. You just can't get out of the banking system. You're stuck. You're done. Especially when the freeze kicks in, which won't be pre-announced, obviously. It'll just kick in one day. Oh, it's frozen now. Across the board, everybody. Obviously, they can't pre-announce it because then everybody would try to get their money out. So it'll just kick in probably on a Monday morning. You wake up. Oh, by the way, your bank's frozen. Really? Yeah, they're all frozen. Withdrawal limits, you know, federal mandate. So at that point, then what's going to work? Again, gold, silver, ammo, crypto, things that people can use privately, peer-to-peer, that's what's going to still function. So get squared away now while you can. And for gold and silver, our sponsor is the Treasure Island Precious Metals Coin Company. That's metalswithmike.com. Check out their prices. For storable food, you can use our store, healthrangerstore.com. Certified organic, lab-tested, all that. For ammunition, there's a lot of good online retailers. We don't have any sponsors in that space, but you can check out like Midway USA or Brownells or some discount ammo retailers, go to AmmoSeek.com, which is kind of an aggregator of all the different ammo retailers out there. AmmoSeek, S-E-E-K. And you can enter any cartridge you want. You can find who's providing that. You can find some pretty affordable ammo right now. Quite a lot of it out there. You know, but fast forward a few months when we're in the middle of World War III or however long it takes, forget it. No more guns, no more ammo. So get squared away now while you can. That's my strong advice. All right, with that said, we're going to jump into the interview now with Paul Hutchinson. He's the executive producer of the Sound of Freedom movie, currently the number one movie across America, exposing the truth about child sex trafficking. This is the movie that's being viciously attacked by the left-wing media because the left-wing media is mostly run by pedophiles and groomers, child mutilators, and people who endorse child trafficking. That's not an exaggeration. That's a statement of fact. That's why they hate this movie, but they love movies that promote pedophilia, of course, and grooming, and transgenderism, and all that garbage. So, of course, they're attacking this movie, which tells you everything you need to know about the left-wing media, who they really are. They are in favor of child sex trafficking. That's why they love the open borders, too, by the way, because that's where a lot of the child trafficking obviously takes place. They don't want to, you know, have a barrier there. They don't want to stop the child trafficking. My goodness, they depend on the child trafficking, you know, some of the top leaders in the Democrat Party and the donors and the globalists. I mean, my gosh, they need the ambrosia, the adrenochrome. They need the bloodletting. They need it all. How do you think they survive being such demonic, evil creatures? Yeah, they have a formula for it. Yeah, it involves children. Yeah, that's not an exaggeration either. That's real. That happens. Why do you think hundreds of thousands of American children disappear every year? Where do you think they go? Yeah? You got an idea? Yeah. There's something they have that these left-wing demonic lunatics want. And some of it involves red blood cells, by the way. So, there you go. That's not even covered in this movie. Maybe they'll have to have a follow-up movie about the real commodity of the children that the left is trying to get. What has value that they can take out of children and actually, you know, sell to each other in their sick, demented, you know, vampiric, satanic way. Organ harvesting and all that. So, yeah, it's all real. It's all real. You're living in a satanic nation now, run by demons that ritualistically sacrifice children and harvest their blood. That's America right now today. That's happening today. So here comes the interview. It's going to be slightly horrifying. I think I used some profanity. I think we might bleep it out. But in this case, the profanity is justified. So I can't quite say enjoy the interview, but give it a listen. See what you think. Thank you for listening. Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, the free speech video platform. And speaking of free speech and platforms of communication through the visual medium, the movie that you are raving about right now, it's the number one movie in America, is called Sound of Freedom. And it's a movie that exposes the truth about what's happening with child sex trafficking. And isn't it fascinating, by the way, that this movie is being attacked by so many liberal media institutions in our society today? So we have invited to join us here the executive producer of this film, Sound of Freedom. His name is Paul Hutchinson, and he himself has participated in dozens of rescue operations, saving children from child sex trafficking. And he joins us here on the show to talk about the film and so much more. We'll play the trailer here coming up shortly. But welcome, Mr. Hutchinson. It's great to have you on. It's an honor to have you on. And congratulations on the tremendous success of your film. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's great to have you on. And you are, you know, we always talk about when are the white hats coming to save us? And I think you're one of the white hats and it's up to us, right? So you have done something amazing. What does it feel like right now to have your film, which was rejected over and over again by various, I guess, distributors or studios, now is the number one film in America?
Well, I'm super, super grateful. And understand this, the only reason why this is the number one film in America is because of people like you. It's a grassroots movement with good people standing up saying, you know what, I'm sick of the establishment deciding what I get to watch and what crap's being fed to me. I'm going to go out there and make a difference. And so it's exciting to see that through simple social media and good people sharing this, we passed $50 million just yesterday first week. In fact, it's amazing how Indiana Jones had a $300 million budget and we had a $13.5 million budget, and we beat them out day one, day two, day three. It's super exciting.
And even with, I mean, there aren't even the same number of theaters running your film compared to Indiana Jones, correct?
Absolutely. Every theater I've been to with this film, completely packed. And people don't just leave at the end. They stay through the credits. They stand up and clap. And this isn't just the premier ones or the ones they know that me or others are at. It is reported across the nation that their response to this is overwhelming, and people are paying it forward. They're buying extra tickets and they're sending their friends. It's exciting to see the movement that's happening. That's what we envisioned 8 years ago when we started this project. We knew that this story and many others needed to be told, and good people needed to know what was happening. And our goal was to create a movement. And that's exactly what's happening right now.
You know, and for the past several years, when people like myself or Alex Jones, for example, talked about child sex trafficking, we were all labeled conspiracy theorists. It was said, this is not happening in America. Oh my gosh, it's happening. And you know firsthand, because you've been part of these rescue operations. Can you tell us, what is the reality of this? And I know it's more than just happening in America, but just in America alone, aren't there hundreds of thousands of children each year that go missing?
Hundreds of thousands here in America. And here in America, we are the number one producer and the number one consumer worldwide of child pornography. And
oh my God,
and U.S. men are the number one consumer of things like this. This is horrible what's happening in the world. And yes, it is a big problem right here in our own backyard. And, you know, I don't want to get super political, but I'll tell you this right now, this open border policy should not be a right or left issue. This shouldn't be a political issue at all. This is a trafficking issue.
Yes.
There are tens of thousands, numbers that are ranging between 80,000, 100,000 plus undocumented minors that are being trafficked across the border right now. And what's crazy, Mike, is that with the new systems in place, these kids can be pushed across the border by active traffickers, and they have a phone number in their hand. This phone number, supposedly, we're hoping is going to be some nice family that's their sponsor to pick them up. But there's no validation. There's no background checks. It could very easily be another trafficker on the other side of the picture here that has the, they call this phone number and say, oh, great. And now they're using your tax dollars to fly that child to his new or her new trafficker here in America.
Wow. No,
this is the first time in history. Go ahead.
Child recycling is a phrase that we've covered editorially as well. Child recycling, how some illegals will essentially kidnap a child and bring it with them in order to claim family status. It's not even their own child. So children are exploited and abused in so many different ways. And we've also interviewed many times Michael Yan, who has documented the human trafficking through the Darien Gap in Panama and how it's coming to the United States, and how the U.S. government is actually funding those camps, literally funding the human trafficking operations. And there are so many children. He's taken us on tours through those camps. There are so many children there. Sometimes they're with families, sometimes they're not. And who knows what's happening to these children? And again, the U.S. government is actively encouraging this trafficking operation. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. Understand this, Mike, that I'm sure you already know this. This is the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world. And good people don't know that it's happening. There's more today. And I'm not talking about just children being abused at home, which is a massive number. And we need to talk about that as well. I'm talking sold human beings. There's more today than all 500 years of the transatlantic, 300 years of the transatlantic slave trade put together. And it's now, it's not only the fastest growing, it's the second most profitable. It surpassed the illegal arms trade, and it will soon surpass the drug trade. Because as you can see in the movie, one of the lines that we had Jim Caviezel play, he said, you can sell a bag of cocaine once. You can sell a child 5 to 10 times a day for the next 5 to 10 years. There's the travesty right there.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, what your film is accomplishing right now, I think, at least two extraordinary things. And perhaps this was your intent. If so, it's genius. But number one is on the surface. It's just bringing awareness to the fact that this issue exists. But the second thing that it's doing, which I think in many ways is more powerful, is it's causing the defenders of trafficking to come out of the woodwork and attack the film. Wow.
Exactly. You know, these guys are all lying hidden. They're like, oh yeah, nobody will know, but they're coming full force out. And you get to see, why in the world are you so against this? Ask that question, right? Why are you against this film? And people say, oh, you know, these things didn't happen. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes. Now we took 8 different trafficking or rescue missions and took the different stories and put them all together because we couldn't really have one story we needed to have a lot of different things in there. But every single thing, the bad guys are really bad guys. The good guys, we had to take probably 20 plus different operators and took all of their roles together and combined them together into just a few characters. But this stuff really happens. And since that time, I have led or played a key part in over 70 undercover rescue missions in 15 countries. I just came out less than 3-4 months ago. I had zero social media, nothing, because we knew that we needed more people to have this voice to validate the fact that we've been there. And I've got multiple Navy SEALs, Green Berets that have been on those missions that are now starting to come out as well, saying, you know what, we've trained more people. They're handling the undercover. Let's tell the story.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, Paul, because I wanted to ask you about your background that led you to this film. But you've been part of child rescue operations yourself over spanning many years, as I understand it. Can you give us a little more detail?
Yes, in the film, The Sound of Freedom, that's a depiction. I had a smaller role in that film because I had a smaller role in that rescue. In the film, my part is Pablo. I'm the real estate mogul who had some background and some training that was asked to come in not only to help fund that mission, but to be there physically and convince these traffickers that I was willing to fund their project. So the quick backstory and how I got involved, I think, is super important. So I got a phone call about 10 years ago from the Attorney General in Utah. And he said, Paul, he said, I need to introduce you to somebody. He's Homeland Security. He's found 20 children in Cartagena. They need some help to put together some financing to rescue these kids because Homeland Security won't do it. Now, here's what made me mad and made him mad at that point. That same month, when he went in and asked his boss at Homeland Security, he said, listen, I found these 20 plus children in Cartagena, Colombia. They didn't authorize that rescue mission because he couldn't prove that there was any Americans involved. But in that same month, this is what I was told, they authorized $50,000 to go to a fake Hewlett-Packard's manufacturing facility investigation in China, right?
Wow.
You got 20 children that need to be pulled out of hell, but you're going to focus on that. And so he got frustrated. He left his job. He's like, okay, what do I do now? How can I fix this? He realized he needed to go private and pull in private money. And so that's when I was brought into the picture, and I had some success in real estate, and I was doing a lot of child-related charity-type things. I also had a lot of training that the Attorney General knew a little bit more about my background than most people in terms of a special set of skills from a previous life that makes me somewhat safe in a dangerous place. And so he called me, and he said, I helped to fund it. And a few weeks later, this Homeland Security agent, who Jim Caviezel plays in the movie, he called me up and he said, Paul, I'm here in Cartagena. there's not just 20 children here. There's more than 50, and there are more than 100 children in the surrounding areas. We can rescue all of these children on the same day at the same time, but I need your help. And I said, well, how much do you need? He said, I need you. Can you be in Colombia in 2 days? He said, I have to have somebody who can effectively negotiate a multi-million dollar real estate deal with the traffickers. He said, the head trafficker has a piece of property he wants to develop into a child brothel sex resort, kind of a Jeffrey what? Epstein island.
Whoa.
Yeah. He needed $8 million to put it together. He believed he could make tens of millions of dollars a year on this trafficking island for kids that he would bring in rich Americans to do horrible things. And he had connections with the other traffickers. And what the goal was is I would fly in, I would meet with these traffickers, I would tell them, listen, I'm willing to fund your project under one condition. We have a party in a couple of weeks. I bring a bunch of my rich friends, you bring all of your models, quote unquote. And if I'm happy with what you control right now, I will fund the expansion of your operation. I'll fund the build out of this child brothel for kids.
So, of course, let me just clarify. This is all undercover. You're playing in real life. This happened, but you're playing the role of this rich investor in order to catch these people.
Now, I'll tell you this, Mike. In the last 10 years, I've been undercover, fake profile, fake Facebook page, everything else. On that first mission, because we only had 2 days to put it together, I didn't go down as Paul Black or Paul Stone or Paul Steele. I went down as Paul Hutchinson, right? The Homeland Security agent, these other guys went down there with the traffickers and they said, listen, we've got the guy who will fund your project. And they put my picture and my background on the screen on the computer. And these guys are like, whoa, this guy. And so I flew down and met with these guys as me.
Whoa.
And so I was, and my background was, I had success in a real estate background, a lot of it. And so they were able to look me up online, and I went in there and sat down face to face with this first meeting. This was one of the darkest experiences of my life. Now there's been a bunch more since then, but up to that time, I was like sitting face to face with these traffickers. And one of them was a female. She was a beauty queen. And you'll see her in the movie. She's the one kind of the kingpin putting it together. But she was there sitting at this table with these traffickers. And we tell them, listen, I'm willing to fund your project. I'm willing, but this is what we need. We're going to do a party in a few weeks. And one of the traffickers leans forward. He was so excited I was willing to look at his project. He leans forward and he goes, Pablo, I have a gift for you. I said, really? What's your gift? And he hands me his phone. And there's a picture of an 11-year-old girl on his phone. He said, this is Princess. She's still a virgin. We just took delivery of some. And she's my gift for your party. And he started talking about these horrific things
Jeez.
I could do to that little girl. Now, the thing that changed my life forever was not being asked to help fund that mission. And it wasn't just the general being down there. The thing that changed my life forever was at the rescue. These guys had brought 54 children to Cartagena, multiple other locations, things at the same time. Over 120 children were rescued that day. But one of those 120 changed my life. It was that little girl. It was the one that in the movie, they call her Princess. We actually named her Rocio. And that little girl in the movie, they put multiple other rescues in and said that she wasn't there at that party, and they went into the jungle. That was an entirely different country, a whole other operation that some of me and some of the other operators were involved with. But in the movie, or in real life, she was there, and she was standing in front of me, this little 11-year-old. These traffickers, she was so scared. She had tears that were coming down her makeup face. She was shaking. And I looked at her, and her eyes, she was looking at me like I was, the man was going to defile her. I thought, how in the world does this happen? And I made a commitment at that moment, sitting there, to myself, to God, and to that little 11-year-old girl, that I would do everything in my power to eradicate that from the face of the earth. There was nothing more evil than I could think of.
Yeah.
And so since that time, I've dedicated, I've retired, focused full-time on charity work to eradicate this problem.
That is just absolutely extraordinary and horrifying, and also important that that experience inspired your film that is now awakening so many people to the truth about this. But I have a couple of practical questions. I don't quite understand how this rescue was carried out. Was this an extra military rescue, or did it involve the U.S. State Department, or how was this actually carried out?
Here's the background and details on it. The agents we were working with, Tim and some others, went in and met with the U.S. Embassy, the Colombian federal agents, and the Colombian federal agents provided 70 officers. Now, we, on all of these operations, and I've led or played a key part in over 70 since that time, but in every operation, we don't work with the local cops, because half the time they're on the payroll of the traffickers and whatnot, but we work with trusted individuals that are verified by our State Department, saying, yeah, those are guys that we've worked with before, those guys are good. But before, when some of these Homeland Security agents or FBI guys would go into other countries and say, hey, we want to go help with this trafficking problem, they would kind of butt heads with the traffickers, and with the agencies that were there, these other governments, they would say, no, this is our problem, we can work with it, we don't need your help. Now, as a private organization, as a 501c3, we can go in and say, listen, we can work under your laws, we can work with you, we will do all the work, we will pay for everything, and we will give you all the credit. Your people will think that you're heroes. All we ask is that the bad guys stay in jail for good. They don't get around your system. And number two, we have full access to the children and getting them rehabilitated and back to their families. So the Colombian federal agents provided 40 agents for us. So we fly in. I've got a bunch of my rich friends, really they're former Navy SEALs, Green Berets, that are pretending like they're rich friends, so they can handle themselves, and guys who know Krav Maga and whatnot. And the federal agents provided 40 agents for us. Four of them were our maids, four of them were our waiters, four of them were our cooks. You know, they're not very good cooks, but they're armed. 25 of them were there to storm the party at the right time. And when these guys showed up with the children, we brought them in and put the children in a separate place in the house because they're already traumatized enough. We didn't want them seeing the guns and the money changing hands, et cetera. And then we're sitting there with the traffickers, and we have undercover cameras that are capturing everything that we're saying, so that the children never have to stand trial. They never have to witness. That's a dark conversation, Mike. Having the trafficker say exactly why those children were there, where they got them from, and what they're willing to do, all on camera.
Wow. So you have to engage in these conversations. You have to pull this out of the traffickers for the cameras.
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable. But this entire time, now I get it. You say you can handle yourself. I get it. You and your team are all proficient in firearms handling and so on. But your life is at risk at every moment in this operation. I know.
100%.
I mean,
probably one of the safer ones that I've been on.
So you don't know if they're bringing like an Overwatch team to keep an eye on things or whatever, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of safeguards in place. Number one, the traffickers don't know the location of the party until the day of the party.
Okay.
They meet at a third party location. So in this case, we did it on an island, and we told the traffickers to bring all the children and meet at the dock, and we would be there with boats to pick them up. So we controlled the boats, we controlled everything there. And then we had our security guys, now these real Navy SEALs, Green Berets, former guys, they're all retired, that are there, and they're checking. They're saying, look, we got a bunch of rich friends there, no knives, no guns, no problem, right? So they remove any weapons from the traffickers, and even checking through the children's purses to make sure that there aren't weapons being smuggled in there. Right. And so the only guys with weapons are our federal agents that are there. And so it creates a safer environment. Now, where it gets really dangerous was what I started doing after a year of doing undercover work. I was recruited to not just play that role of the wealthy business owner who they were bringing in the children that I was paying for the party. And I did that a bunch of times, But after about a year, I was asked to go deep cover. And now at that point, I'm 2 a.m. downtown Port-au-Prince, Haiti, downtown Mexico City. I'm connecting with these guys face to face. In that situation, we don't have guns. We don't have knives because that would actually make it more dangerous yes. for us to be in that conversation with them in that arena. And so in that case, the guys that are with me there are usually super proficient at hand-to-hand combat training, not guns and knives and whatnot, but things like, have you ever heard of Krav Maga?
I trained in Krav Maga for years.
So for your audience, yeah. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, for your audience, you know, most martial arts are bow to your sensei 3 points when you kick them in the leg, but Krav Maga is brick to their head and go home to your family. It's Israeli special forces hand-to-hand combat yep. training. It's the most lethal on earth. And every move, they don't breathe, they don't see, they don't walk, whatever. And some of our most effective deep cover agents are guys that are triple, double black belts and stuff like that are very, very effective. And so I felt safe. I've been training for years and years on that as well, as one of the reasons why I was recruited. But when you're in those situations, you've got your hands and your wits about you to find those kids.
And your elbows and knees. And there's a military form of Krav Maga that they don't really teach like regular civilians. And when I was training, I trained for years to the point where I was actually training cops in weapon takeaways, right? So, you know, Krav specialized in weapon takeaways. Yeah. If bad guys put a gun to your head, no problem. You can deal with that. But yep. we're all afraid of knives. That's the truth. Where I mean, guns exactly. we can deal with. Knives, somebody's gonna bleed probably.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I can take away a gun faster than they can pull the trigger every time. I mean, 95% of all gun crimes happen within a three-foot radius. You and I, we've been trained on that. But yeah, knives is a whole different story. We had one of our undercover operators got stabbed 27 times. In an altercation. Now, fortunately, he lived, but yeah, knives are a whole different story for sure.
But it's important that our audience here understands that this movie is inspired by reality, right? This wasn't just some
yes.
fictional dramatization, but it's an expression of what you personally witnessed and saw, what you went through, your life on the line, the lives of children on the line, and the people helping you on the line. You know, there are unspoken heroes, a lot of them ex-military, as you mentioned,
exactly.
Special Forces, yeah. Navy SEALs, really good-hearted men and some women as well who are trying to save lives in this country. And that's why it's disgusting to me that the media would attack this film instead of celebrating it. But hey, guess what? The final say is the audience going out and promoting the film.
Exactly. Exactly. And I will say this, you touched on it in the beginning. The one thing that I don't want people to leave when they leave the film is to think that, I don't even know what you call it, to think that we all have to have a physical form of a man being our savior in military form here, right? We all need to take a part together. There's not one or two or three people. It's not me. It's not Tim. It was hundreds of good people coming together on these operations. And moving forward, this grassroots movement has to be all of us waking up and saying, okay, what can I do? What right. can I do in my own home, in my own backyard, with my own talents, my own skill sets? I'm, you know, a lot of the people listening, they haven't had the training that you and I have had in Krav Maga and other things. They don't have the resources that we have to be able to go out and write those big checks. But what can they do? What can they do? What can we all do to fight this evil? And you are brilliant in pointing out the fact that the one thing this movie is doing is it's shining a light not just on human trafficking, but the people that are coming out of the woodwork that are fighting against this. You have to ask yourself why? I mean, little things like, you know what? We got turned down by people like Netflix, yet they put cuties on. Really?
Right.
Cuties?
Unreal.
Have you seen that crap that's going on? This is a mass form of brainwashing that's happening. And we're sitting there saying, okay, I'll let Hollywood decide what they want to brainwash me with. Really?
Well, Hollywood
that's
is
how we're
disgusting.
Gonna live our life.
And
Yeah.
I think more and more people are realizing this. I mean, even Disney's movies are failing miserably for the very reasons we're talking about. But, you know, what's interesting to me is, in fact, I want to ask you about Jim Caviezel here, because he is he's a superstar of integrity in a Hollywood scene which is dominated by demons. And there are others. I mean, Mel Gibson came out and said, told people, go see this film. Mel Gibson is a good person. He is a good-hearted person. I saw, I think, Mark Wahlberg recently talking about exposing what's happening in Hollywood, and he's setting up his own studio somewhere else. But what are you seeing as far as perhaps with Jim Caviezel or others who are rejecting the child exploitation that Hollywood is increasingly known for? What's the silver lining in that you're witnessing?
Here's what I found. I haven't been involved in some of the takedowns involving some of the Hollywood guys. I will say this, there's been hundreds of pedophiles that have been arrested here in the U.S., some pretty high profile people, because of some of the arrests that our foundation and other foundations that I have helped to fund and start have been a part of. You can see who have their dark agendas by the movies they play in, by how actively they're coming out against what we're doing right here. And I'll say when Mel Gibson wanted to take the passion of the Christ to the world, and he couldn't get finance, he had to finance millions of dollars on his own, and he got ousted by Hollywood because of his decision to say, you know what, no, I'm going to bring this to the world. And then, of course, that's how him and Jim Caviezel got super close, right, is in filming the Passion. And what's super interesting about all of this is that of all the studios that we went, all the distribution partners, everybody that we went to trying to figure out the best distribution partner, the only one that would take us was the one who put out the TV series The Chosen.
Wow.
Which is Angel Studios. And if you haven't watched The Chosen, now that's a beautiful, beautiful series about the life of Christ. And it's very much not religious. It's very much tied into his true teachings and his heart, and is beautifully done. And they spread that message of truth and hope and light and love using this grassroots movement. The problem that you and I have is the fact that we as a community have allowed darkness to control our social media, our mainstream media, our Hollywood, all of these things. This has been an agenda for a long time. And we've sat back thinking, well, you know, we'll just kind of let, it's not that bad. You know, it is. They're polluting our children's minds. They're polluting our minds. They're pushing their agenda slowly but slowly into a place where instead of abhorring it, we're like, okay, maybe that's not so bad. Really? Well, 10 years ago, would have you thought that's not so bad?
Paula, I don't know if you know this, but news just broke, I think yesterday, that Seattle public schools are going to now offer free genital mutilation services to children as young as 11 years old inside the school system. So now you send your child to a government school, they may come home mutilated for life. I mean, this is happening.
Wow.
That's in Seattle, and it's going to spread. And it's, you know, what's so powerful about your film is exposing child sex trafficking, but there's also, of course, child reproductive mutilations that don't even require an open border. It's happening down the street at your local school. I mean, you know, who the hell, pardon my language, but who the hell thought that children are their playthings, that children are their projection of their virtue signaling, that a child's body is their property to do with as they please? I mean, these assholes. I mean, sorry about my language, but these assholes who how dare you perceive children as your property to do with what you want to do in your sick, perverted, twisted little mind? I mean, these people are demons.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the real problem too. For a long time, I was I was grappling with, where does this come from? Where does this come from? I realized, and one of the reasons why I've decided to stop doing undercover and to go public is at the end of last year, I had finished some undercover rescue missions. I looked at the numbers and I realized that there are more children being sold now than there was 10 years ago when I first started doing undercover work. And I thought, Paul, if your goal is to eradicate this from the face of the earth, you're not doing a very good job. And I thought, okay, what needs to happen? And I realized that every time we pulled 20 children out of hell, yes, we made a powerful impact in the lives of those children. But if not enough was being done to fix the demand side, then we left a vacuum. Right. And another 20 children being sucked into the recesses of hell. So two things had to happen. We started funding a lot of organizations that were arresting pedophiles and taking out that side of the demand. But then I stepped back and I thought, where is that coming from? Where is it coming from? Yeah, it's coming from this sexualization of in Hollywood and this desensitizing of us to all of this crap. And it's coming from generational trauma. Generational. We've got literally people listening to this program right now, one out of every four women who's listening right now was a victim of sexual abuse as a child. One out of four. That's a billion people on this planet. That's a lot bigger than the 10 million numbers of children that are being trafficked. A billion, right? For men, it's a little bit less. Roughly 20% of all men at some time in their life have been a victim, but even those, one-fourth of them, roughly 200 million men in the world, under the age of 10 years old.
Wow.
And most of them in their own homes. So you walk out on your front step and you look left and you look right. One out of every four of those homes is likely a dangerous place for children.
That's
and so
unreal.
You have to ask yourself, where is that coming? Because somebody doesn't just grow up and it 40, 50 years old, decide, hey, you know, now I'm going to go down to Colombia and rape a child. No, chances are that person was already creating havoc in his or her own home or their own neighborhood. And
no
so
kidding.
The best things that people can do is not just write a check to go funnel Navy SEALs down to go rescue these kids. It's we've got to start in our own homes. You've got to look around and realize that statistically there's probably somebody in your family or somebody in your neighborhood that is dangerous to be around your children. And so learn how to feel and recognize that. I have a book coming out in a few months. It's called Are You Listening with My Hand on My Heart? Not with my hand on my ear, but Are You Listening with My Hand on My Heart? Because every single operation that I did undercover, I wasn't being led by logic and protocol. I was listening. And I feel the divine direction. I don't care if somebody listening thinks that God is a mountain or a river or a man or a woman or what you refer to. There is no God in the universe that's okay with an 8-year-old being sold for those things. And so it was easy for me to feel led on that. But every one of us has the ability to feel and recognize that spirit of truth. And when you do so, you can lead your family to a place of safety. And you can help people heal before they ever pass that trauma on to somebody else. And that's really the key to the riddle, is if we can help people heal before they get to a place later in their life where all of that pain of their own childhood trauma starts bubbling up. And realize that two out of every three people who dealt with childhood abuse become they're good husbands, they're good fathers, they're able to work through their issues, and God bless them, they never, ever, ever pass that trauma on to a child. But one out of every three people who have dealt with child abuse themselves become contact offenders if they don't get the help they need.
Gosh.
That's where,
that's
from a
horrifying statistic. Yeah, but
it's huge.
The demand side of things, it's also horrifying that there is so, and that's what you're speaking to, there's so much demand for children, trafficked children and so on. But I want to mention the organization here, liberatechildren.org. And is that your organization? Is that one that you work with or help fund, or what is that exactly?
Yeah. So I'm the founder of the Child Liberation Foundation. So liberatechildren.org. And it's for a long time, that was just a 501c3 that I put my own money in and used that when operations needed to be taken care of, et cetera, because I was completely private. You know, I was just running operations undercover. I worked with a lot of different 501c3s. In the beginning, there was one that I worked with for about 5 years that I ran undercover with that the Homeland Security agent had started. He and I have both left that foundation. And he and I separated about 5 years ago. We had some fundamental disagreements on where the money should go and what needed to happen with the children. But there's a lot of good foundations out there. So the Child Liberation Foundation identifies groups that are doing the work, and they help fund direct operations. They don't put that money into 501c3s where they have big salaries with people that are, you know, driving nice cars. No, that money is going directly to the rescue, rehabilitation, and reuniting of children with their families. It also has some other initiatives on the healing side. They have this Liberating Wings program where they, you know, the wings like angel wings, but they're talking about physical extension wings on the safe houses of the children, specifically designed for healing. You can get some more information on there. On that website, you can learn not only how to donate $5, $10, $20 a month or whatever, but you can also get the tools that you need to help your family and direct you to keep your kids safe, et cetera. So there's a lot of things that we can do together to fight this problem.
Well, let me ask you, since this movie is also doing very well in the theaters, again, it's the number one movie in America. So I suppose at some point that translates into obviously some revenues from the studio. What are you going to be doing with that money?
I committed day one when I invested in the film that the money coming from that film will go to fight this problem. So in multiple ways, we started, I'm not only the founder of the Child Liberation Foundation, but Liberate Humanity as well. In fact, my Instagram, Facebook, everything else is all liberating.humanity. Because that's really what we have to do. And so that's focused on building some healing retreats, putting together programs to help adults deal with and shed their own childhood trauma so that we don't end up having these traffickers in the future and the demand in the future. People ask me a lot, Mike, and this will piss a couple people off, but that's okay. People ask me, Paul, how can you go face to face so many times with people selling children and not have them see the anger in your eyes?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
And my answer surprises them. It said, because I got to the point where I actually felt some compassion for it. Well, how can you feel compassion for them? You know, they're selling you a child. No, I will do everything in my power to ensure they never hurt or touch another child again. But the thing I wish more than anything is that I had a time machine and I could go back a year or 5 years or 10 years before they ever, ever traumatized a child like that. There's no justification for what happened there. However, if we could go back 10 years and help those people recover before they ever pass that trauma on, we would have saved millions of children from going through that. So of course we don't have a time machine, but what we do have is the knowledge that there is hundreds of millions of people on earth right now who have dealt with massive amounts of childhood trauma themselves that eventually will pass that trauma on if they don't get the help that they need.
But is that, let me ask you
from that,
on that point, Paul, I mean, perhaps you need to educate me about this, but is it really such a direct correlation that someone like a young male who was sexually abused as a child, I think you said one out of three is eventually going to translate into that person abusing another child. Is that really the number one cause of child sex trafficking and pedophilia? Is trauma?
For a long time, I pointed the finger at pornography. Anytime that we take a woman from a divine feminine to an object, then you start going down a dark road. Now, pretty much everybody listening to this and watching this has seen pornography. Just because you've seen pornography doesn't mean you're going to become a pedophile. But every single one of these guys had started out with a hardcore addiction. Something harder. What happened is they had this addiction. They like a hardcore drug. They needed something harder to have that same fix, right? And for some of them, harder was rape videos and more grotesque. Other people, it was a little bit younger. Pretty soon, they're fantasizing about something they wouldn't have even thought was attractive 5 years ago, and then they're acting out on these horrific fantasies. And so I was pointing the finger at that. I was like, okay, how do we fix that? We got to take away porn. It's a cultural thing across the board, not only pornography and making that so that it's okay and easily accessible to everybody, but what we're seeing in Hollywood, what we're seeing on with things like cuties, crap like that that's coming out that's desensitizing us. But even that, we have to go back and say, where is all of this coming from and how does somebody get to that point? So you're right. It's not just childhood trauma. But that is one thing that we can do to help fix it. We can push back on this agenda of this radical agenda that's these desensitizing us and our children in the media. But we can also provide tools allowing people to shed that. Now, understand that just because somebody's dealt with that does not mean that they're prone to that, right? Literally 2/3 of them are able to work through that, and they use it as a motivation to say, you know what, I'm going to do everything in my power to ensure that never happens to another child.
Right.
But either way, it's this negative energy that is being perpetrated generationally. And yes, these are all battles that we can fight together, all of them. But all of them need to be brought forward. Seeing the movie, being in the darkest recess, listening to me will wake people up and say, okay, I see there is a problem here. How do we fix it? And there's a lot of ways we can fix it. We can push back on this agenda that's polluting our minds. We can hug our kids. We can keep them safe. I can go through hours of how to keep your kids safe. But we can also help those people before they ever pass their trauma on to somebody else.
Wow. Very, very, very powerful. And I'm so thankful that you found the courage to do this. You said it was an 8-year project. You had to raise millions of dollars. I know the film was rejected by multiple studios, and yet you've made it through, and you now have the number one movie in America. You have shed light on an issue that the establishment is trying to cover up forever. And because of your film, I think they've failed, and you've changed the conversation from here forward. That's really something.
Well, thank you. It wasn't us. This was divine intervention every step of the way, because this message needs to be heard, and this trajectory of our nation needs to be changed.
Yes.
And good people need to wake up and stand up and say, you know what? Not on my watch. What can I do to fix this?
Well said. All right, Paul, we're going to wrap this up for today. You are always welcome back here. We'd love to have more updates from you, especially about your upcoming book as well. The movie, of course, is Sound of Freedom. Angel Studios is the distributor. This movie is currently playing in movie theaters across the country. And I don't know what your other distribution plans are, but I'm sure people will be able to find it because it's a very successful, you know, it's a very popular movie, and theaters want to carry popular movies for a change. So check it out. Right. Sound of Freedom. There's also a pay it forward system where you can buy tickets for other people to see the film if they can't afford it. And I saw even like Dana White of the USC, I think he bought tickets for all of his staffers and competitors in that organization to go out and see the film. And you can do that too. If you own a company or have an organization, you can buy tickets and pay it forward and let other people see the film. Thank you so much, Paul. This has been a really astonishing and horrifying chapter to look at, but thank God that you are here to bring this to the surface, because we must deal with this. We must stop this issue. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike. Super grateful for you, for your listeners, for your good hearts and wanting to stand up and make a positive impact in the world. So thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, we do the same that you do in a different area. We try to protect children from being injected with experimental substances, for example, things like that. Children are so exposed to so many assaults in society today, some by the government itself, not just, you know, perverts and groomers and so on. But anyway, We'll leave it there for today, and we'll revisit this hopefully again with you, Paul, in the future. But congratulations on the film, and I'm glad that you're safe. And now your cover's blown, though. You can't go undercover anymore.
That's true.
Here you are. So somebody else will of course take the baton and carry forward. But thank all of you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams here of Brighteon.com. Feel free to repost this interview. Please do. And just give credit to the Sound of Freedom movie and encourage others to go out and see the film and, you know, tweet about it, post about it on social media, get the word out there. Thank you for watching today. God bless you all. God bless America. Take care.